This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إذن عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة تركهم على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, all praise is due to Allah, who is magnificent in His essence, perfect in His attributes, undeniable in His presence. All praise is due to Allah, who has the most magnificent names, a praise that is due for Him, a praise that forever remains. May He send peace and blessings in their most perfect fashion. May He send greetings and salutations that are complete and everlasting upon the best of His creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May He perfect His rank and elevate His station, for He taught us what we did not know. And He gave, and He gave, and He gave, because He loved us so. It is narrated that on the day of the conquest of Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into the Kaaba. And one man entered with him, Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu. After which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded Bilal to call the adhan. And Bilal ascended upon the Kaaba radiallahu anhu, and he proceeded to call the call to prayer. And when the people who still did not accept Islam saw that man standing upon the Kaaba, they said, Alhamdulillah, that our parents did not live. Alhamdulillah, that our fathers did not live to see the day when a black man would ascend upon the Kaaba. Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu had traversed a long way. His journey was long. He had gone from being a slave in Mecca to be bought and to be sold, to be killed. Useless property, worthless. He went from that to a day where he would be standing upon the most sacred of the Arabs' sacred places. What gave him that strength? And what gave him that ability, that strength of character, where he would dare to stand on the Kaaba one day? You will find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took this group of people. He took this Sahaba. He took that group of companions that Allah Azza wa Jalla had given him. And he was able to transform not simply Bilal, but all of them. He took Abdullah ibn Mas'ud from being a young shepherd, Ruwai'i al-Ghanam, like Abu Jahl called him. And he transformed this man to be the scholar of the Qur'an for the entire ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam transformed the companions. But how did he do it? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instilled in them character. And he was the best to instill character. He was the greatest murabbi that mankind had ever known. And he restricts the reason of his being sent when he says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. The only reason why I was sent was to perfect good character. One of the ways in which the Prophet ﷺ did this, one of the ways in which he transformed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and would transform the Ummah after, is what we will be looking at today. The Prophet ﷺ, one of the ingredients to this recipe of success is that he ﷺ would not allow for any one of his companions to be belittled in his presence. He would never allow for a Muslim to be belittled in his presence. He says in the famous hadith, "La tahasadu," don't envy one another. "Wala tanajashu," don't raise prices without the intention to buy. "Wala tadabaru," don't turn your backs on one another. "Wala tabaghadu," don't hate one another. "Wakunu ibadallahi ikhwana," be the slaves of Allah altogether. "Al muslimu akhul muslim," the believer or the Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. "La yadhlimuh," he doesn't oppress him. "Wala yakhdhuluh," he doesn't forsake him. "Wala yakdhibuh," he doesn't belie him. "Wala yahqiruh," and he doesn't belittle him. At-taqwa hahuna. At-taqwa hahuna. Taqwa is here. And he pointed to his chest three times. And then he emphasizes on that last point, which is the subject of our khutbah today. بِحَسْبِ امْرِئٍ مِنَ الشَّرْءِ أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. It is sufficient of an evil that a Muslim belittles his Muslim brother. If you were to do nothing else in your day but to belittle your brother, then that is sufficient of an evil for you. If you do nothing today more than calling your sister stupid or calling her ugly or calling her short or calling her skinny or calling her fat, then you have done enough of an evil today. And the Prophet ﷺ created and he taught his companions to never ever belittle each other. Not only that, but to never allow for anyone to be belittled in their presence. And to always correct that behavior. And I'm going to give you many examples, because there are many examples in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. What are the reasons why people are belittled? What are some of the manifestations of that? You have someone like Bilal ibn Rabah. And Bilal was black. And he was a person who did not speak the Arabic language naturally. He was someone who was an immigrant. He was someone who was a slave. And so Abu Dharr, even though he's his Muslim brother, he calls out to him and he says, "Ya ibn al-Sawda." He calls out to Bilal and he says to him, "Oh son of a black woman." Now is Abu Dharr lying? No, he's not lying. Bilal's mother is black. But the way that he says it, and the intention behind it, and the way that Bilal would understand it. So one thing that we don't really pay attention to is that when you make fun of someone, you may say, "Well, I'm only joking. I didn't mean anything by it." But do you have any control over the way the other person understands it? No, you don't. As soon as that word escapes your lips, then it is no longer under your control. And it may very well be that the person who you are making fun of is very self-conscious and very sensitive to that aspect that you are highlighting. And so he says to Bilal, "Ya ibn al-Sawda." And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't smile. He doesn't laugh it off. He says to Abu Dharr, "Ya Aba Dharr, a'ayartahu bi ummih?" Are you making fun of him? Are you blaming him due to who his mother is? "Innaka imri'in fika jahiliyah." You are a person who has in you jahiliyah. Abu Dharr then, because he's a companion as well, and he doesn't become arrogant, he places his cheek on the ground, and he says to Bilal, "Step on my face. Step on my face. Forgive me for saying a word that would offend you, or that would offend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." What is another reason that a person can be insulted? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is described as being very short and very skinny. One time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had him climb a tree. And as he was climbing that tree, the wind began to blow. And it uncovered his legs. And his legs were so scrawny, he was so skinny, that the Sahaba began to laugh. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, coming to the defense of his companion, he says, "أَتَضْحَكُونَ مِنْ دِقَّةِ سَاقِيهِ." Are you laughing due to how skinny his legs are? You know, a person who's skinny, they've been skinny their entire lives. It is something that they're self-conscious about. Just like the person who's overweight may be self-conscious about their weight. The person who is short may be self-conscious about their height. And the person who's very tall may be self-conscious about their height. And so, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they are laughing about that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he removes from Ibn Mas'ud, any cause of being afraid, or any cause of feeling inferior, or any cause of having low confidence. He says, those legs are going to weigh more than the mountain of Uhud on the Day of Judgment. He immediately instills in Ibn Mas'ud a reason for confidence. He says, those legs are going to outweigh the mountain of Uhud on the Day of Judgment. Safiyyah bint Huyay, who was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who he married after the Battle of Khaybar. There are two instances that are very beautiful that I want to share with you about our mother, Safiyyah bint Huyay radiallahu anha. The first is, in her absence, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would defend her. Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates that one time she indicated to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Safiyyah was short. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all know that Aisha was the most beloved person to him. She is the one who the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was most inclined to accommodate. And so when Aisha radiallahu anha, she indicates that Safiyyah is short and Safiyyah isn't there, have a laugh, let it slide. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says no. Aisha, you had said something. You've said something at this point in time. That if you were to spit it into the ocean, it would become black. That you backbite her. Or that you say something about her that she would not like. And just as you would not like to say it, or she would not like for you to say it in her presence, then don't say it in her absence. And in another narration, Safiyyah herself came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, these, your wives, at times they start calling out to me. And they say to me, Ya Yahudiya, O Jewish woman. And that's what she was. She was Jewish. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you're living as a minority now, the rest of the women amongst you are not Jewish, they're Arab. So even though she may be proud about her Jewish heritage, when the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam call out to her like that, it becomes an insult. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he removes for her again this cause of inferiority, and he says, فَإِنْ عَادُوا, if they return to that, then tell them, إِنَّ أَبِي هَارُونَ وَعَمِّي مُوسَى وَزَوْجِي مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. شَرَفٌ بَعْدَ شَرَفٌ. If they say anything to you again, if they call out to you, if they want to make fun of you because of the fact that you're Jewish, tell them that my father is Harun, and my uncle is Musa, and my husband is Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now who else can claim anything similar to that? He would take their insecurities, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would take their reasons of feeling inferior, and he would instill in them reasons to be confident. The last one that I want to mention is Zuhair. And Zuhair, it is narrated that he was a Bedouin. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love him very much. And that he used to, when Zuhair would come out of the desert, and he would come to buy and sell in Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Zuhair, you are our desert, and we are your civilization. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had walked into the marketplace, and he saw Zuhair buying and selling, and he came from behind him, and he grabbed him. And he said, من يشتري هذا العبد? Who is going to purchase this slave? As if he's selling him, he's joking with him. But Zuhair was a person with a very rough character. And so he immediately wanted to free himself from the person who was behind him. And so he looked behind and he saw that it was Rasulullah. So he said, I leaned back. And I said to him, إذن ستجدني كاسدا يا رسول الله. You are going to find me not worth anything in the marketplace. What is he? He's a Bedouin. He's illiterate. He's not worth much amongst the city-dwelling folk. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to him, أنت لست بكاسد عند الله. You are not worth nothing in the sight of Allah. No, you are worth a lot. And so, we need to learn from the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way that he would develop his companions, the way that he would enrich them. He would enrich their lives and increase their self-worth. He would enrich their ability to feel like they had something that they could give to the society. He wouldn't cut them down, never, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He would never allow for them to be mocked. He would never allow for them to be belittled. And he would always, always, always heighten their self-worth and increase their ability. And it is no surprise why then that generation that would learn from the Prophet ﷺ would soon be able to create people like Rib'i ibn Amir, who at 19 years old is walking into the palace of Kisra. 19 years old. And he is able to give a very succinct message. He says, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ ابْتَعَثَنَ اللَّهِ. We are a people whom Allah Azza wa Jal had sent. لِخْرَاجِ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. We are a people whom Allah Azza wa Jal has sent to remove mankind from the worship of creation to the worship of the Lord of mankind. And from the restrictness of the religion to the, or from the oppression of religion to the justice of Islam. And from the restrictness of this dunya to the expansiveness of the dunya of the, and the akhirah. Make some space for your brothers, inshallah, and move forward. أقول ما سمعتم واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. بحسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم. It is sufficient of an evil that a person belittles his Muslim brother. The ummah is required to strengthen its personalities. We want to create a generation after us that is going to become stronger than ours. A generation that will be confident in their calling others to Allah. We are the best ummah to ever arise from mankind. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. You are the best ummah to arise from mankind. You command the good and you forbid the evil and you believe in Allah. But that commanding of the good and forbidding of the evil requires strength of personality. It requires confidence. It requires power. Ya Yahya khudh al-kitaba biquwa. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, oh Yahya, take the book with strength. And that does not happen when people grow up being cut down. The act of belittling another. Why do people belittle each other? Psychologists, they say it's like a seesaw. That a person will belittle the other person, they'll bring that person down so that they can rise up a little bit. Even though it's something that's temporary. They will say, oh, so and so, they'll make fun of him, they'll gather around him and they'll call him stupid. Or they'll call him worthless, or they'll call him this, or they'll call him that. And for that moment, they will feel like they are better. They will feel like they are better. Because they wouldn't do it if they didn't feel that. But Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم. Allah says, O you who believe, let not one group of you belittle or mock another group. Why? It may be that that person whom everyone is gathered together around making fun of, it may be that in the sight of Allah that person is better. ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكون خيرا منهن. And it may be no group of women should gather. No group of women should mock another group of women. It may be that they are better in the sight of Allah. And do not call out to each other. Do not make fun of each other. Do not call each other by names that you don't like. Imam Ahmad, he narrates that when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, they used to have this habit. A person would have two or three names. And so the Prophet ﷺ is learning their names. And so he would call out to that person and he would say, oh, so and so. And then they would say to him, Ya Rasulullah, he doesn't like that name. He doesn't like that name. And so the Prophet, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Do not insult each other with your names. Don't give each other names that you don't like. And when you know someone doesn't like a name, don't call that person by that name. Don't call that person by that name. Allah says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ. And whoever doesn't repent from that, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Those are the oppressors. Those are the oppressors. The Prophet ﷺ, he described pride. After he said that pride, whoever has a bit of pride will never enter paradise, they asked him, and he said that pride is batr al-haq wa amtu al-nas. It is the rejection of the truth, and it is belittling others. It is belittling others. And so, even, you know, a lot of the names that we grew up on, that our families might have called us, donkey this and idiot that, and who knows what other animals that we are named after as we were kids. The Prophet ﷺ, he declared all of that to be haram. The Prophet ﷺ declared all of that to be haram. To name your child Himar, it is haram. Because he's not a donkey, and he's not this and he's not that. He's a human being. Allah Azza wa Jal made him a human being. And Allah Azza wa Jal even said, and look at the precision of the Quran. Allah says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاءِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, the example of those who carried the Torah, and then they didn't carry it. He says they are like the example of the donkey. And notice how Allah Azza wa Jal didn't call them the animal, because they're not. But He said the example of that. So, your action items from this khutbah. Something very specific. Alhamdulillah, this khutbah, as far as the takeaway actions of it, it is very, very simple. Never insult a person. Never belittle your brother. Do not call them names that they don't like. And whatever names you may have for someone, if they are names that you know have a negative connotation, it doesn't matter if they smile, and it doesn't matter if they laugh. Because you don't know what happens in their heart. And you yourself have experienced many times maybe where someone said something to you and it was hurtful to you. And you laughed in their face. And you smiled and you brushed it off. And you let it slide. But Allah knows that that hurts you. So if that happened to you, don't let it happen to anyone else. And don't be the cause of that. Because that is enough of an evil for you, that you belittle your Muslim brother. So just stop. That is point number one. Just stop. Don't do it anymore. Change your habits. I know we grew up in a culture where this is what's considered to be normal conversation. It is showing off your verbal skill and your verbal prowess and your wit to be able to cut anybody down to size. But don't do it anymore, because we love the Prophet ﷺ more than we love our cultures and more than we love any habits that we may have picked up. And undoubtedly, in his example is the best example. Second, is that even if you are not the person doing it, but if it happens in your presence, then you have seen the example of Rasulullah ﷺ, that he would not stand with the one who is making fun of them. And there was no mujamala there. There was no accommodation. The Prophet ﷺ would rebuke the one who said it, and he would affirm a beautiful quality to the one who was mistaken, or the one who was insulted. And then the last thing that I want to mention is, don't belittle yourself. Don't belittle yourself. Yes, don't belittle others, but don't belittle yourself as well. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he learned from Rasulullah ﷺ this lesson. And when Ibn Abbas was in the companionship of Umar, and everyone around him is a lot older, sometimes Ibn Abbas would have an opinion that was different from the elder Sahaba. And so he would say later on to Umar, he wouldn't speak in front of everyone, but he would say later on to Amir al-Mu'mineen, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, to be honest, I had an opinion that was different than everybody else's opinion." So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would say to him, "Speak, ya ibn akh, O my nephew. ولا تحقر نفسك. Never belittle yourself. Never belittle yourself. Speak out." So we want to raise amongst our children the identity. We want to raise amongst the youth amongst us. We want to teach them that. Because in a very short time, how soon are the ones who are in the masajid and speaking in the minbar and doing all of these things, how soon are we all replaced? And who is the one who replaces us? It is the one that we are nurturing now. So we want to make sure that we're nurturing people of strength, even from a young age. And finally, with regards to belittling themselves, I have noticed that amongst my own circle of friends, that the ones who are, you know, people gather around and they make fun of very easily, the first thing that I will notice is that they themselves are very quick to make fun of themselves. So they're the first person to say, "I'm such an idiot. Oh, I'm so stupid, I shouldn't have done that." So when you're the first one to say, "Oh, I'm so stupid," it's very easy for someone next to you to say, "Yeah, you're right. And let me tell you how stupid you are. Such and such and such and such and such and such." But I've also noticed about friends who no one ever makes fun of. I've noticed that I've never heard them make fun of themselves. And so there's this haiba, there's a line. that since you've never seen anyone cross that line, you don't want to be the first person to cross it either. So these are some qualities of the Sahaba that we want to take advantage of. The first is never belittle anyone. Second, don't allow for anyone to be belittled in your presence. And the third is don't belittle yourselves. And before coming to conclusion, I wanted to remind our brothers, actually move forward inshallah, make some space, continue to make space as the masjid is full, it's a holiday today, of the obligation towards this masjid and this project. I am from New York, but I tell you that on a regular basis, even in our masajid, we will go on to YouTube and we will watch videos from Masjid Umar Al-Faruq, of the khutab that are happening here, of the events that are happening here. Wallahi, I saw an event recently, a lecture with the brother Joshua Evans. It was a 45-minute lecture in this masjid, and it has over a million hits, almost a million hits on YouTube. And this is something that is a blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you. And so, a reminder as well, as you are in the last week or the last days before the year, the end of the year, to continue to support and continue to assist your community and your projects in this masjid. There are people who are watching you guys and everything that happens in this masjid from not just New York but from all over the world. And so continue inshallah ta'ala to support the masajid and this masjid in particular, and to support this project inshallah ta'ala before the end of the year, as you know. And remember, you know, that whatever you give, Allah Azza wa Jal will continue to replace. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Why is it that you not give in the path of Allah? وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And to Allah belongs everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Last, in during Ramadan, I have this beautiful story that I was blessed enough to experience myself. I was in a fundraiser for Somalia. And, you know, Somalia, everything was happening for Somalia during Ramadan. And I had a brother, at the same time, a little before Somalia happened, the iPad 2 came out. And so there was a brother who was trying to save up $500 to get it. And he didn't have a lot of money. It was really taking him a while. It was taking him around a month to save up for it. And so when he went to that fundraiser, he wasn't intending to give. He was intending to support. But what ended up happening, someone said something and it affected his heart. And he said, you know what? These people are in need. I'm not in need. Let me give. That's it. Let me just give. He said that he was going to donate it. Some other people heard that he had donated at the expense of his iPad. And before the end of the night, a person came to him and he said, you know what, brother, subhanAllah, I have three of them that were just gifted to me. I work for a technology company. People give me gifts all the time. I didn't even know who to give it to. I'm giving it to you. That was on Saturday night. The brother was sitting in the chair and he looked like he was going to cry. Everyone was like, just leave him alone. He's having a moment. Then after that, 3 days later, on that Monday, he got a tax return. And he was thinking that he was supposed to be paying taxes. He got his tax return in 4 months late. And it was for $2,500. But Allah Azza wa Jalla says, whatever you give, He is going to replace it. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to teach us that which benefits us, to benefit us from that which He taught us. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah, wa ma qarrab ilayha min qawlin wa amal, wa na'udhu bika min an-nar, wa ma qarrab ilayha min qawlin wa amal. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها زكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.